Prime time is anytime. Subscribe to the Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. When the mic goes on, it's like ringing the dinner bell. Let the salivating begin. Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports. Dig in on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
All right, normally we would have a roundtable for you, this being Friday, but given what has transpired in the past 72 hours or so with Alex Anthopoulos and the Major League Baseball non-waiver trade deadline, we're going to just we're going to run a regular primetime in it. We're even going to have Bob McCowan on. It's Jeff Blair and Paul Jones sitting in today. Bob McCowan, who will be back in this chair on Monday, will join us later on in this hour. We'll get Bob's reaction to the overhaul of the Toronto Blue Jays on the field. Joe Siddle will join us as well. Alex Anthopoulos in just a few minutes. And then Jonah Carey from Grantland will be along and we'll wrap up today's deadline. A couple of trades, and this often happens. The trades get done and submitted to the Major League offices by 4 o'clock, and they're released. A couple of releases or a couple of trades released in the past 30 minutes or so. Jay Happ, former Blue Jays pitcher, is on the move from the Seattle Mariners to the Pittsburgh Pirates, which is a really nice move for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And the LA Dodgers have sent Michael Morse to Pittsburgh. Jose Tabata going to the Dodgers in return for Michael Morse. So Pittsburgh making a couple of sort of quiet strategic acquisitions. James Shields didn't get traded. Jeff Samardzija didn't get traded. Craig Kimbrell didn't get traded. Aroldis Chapman didn't get traded.
Do you say yet, Blair? Because although if you throw those guys out there on waivers, somebody's going to put in a claim.
Well, right? Yeah, I mean, and again, it's non-waiver trade deadline means that you can add a player after the deadline. That player has to go through waivers. But the San Diego Padres have indicated that their general manager, A.J. Preller, has said, we're not selling players. We're not interested in selling players because we think we have a shot at the playoffs still. And indeed, the Padres spent so much money this offseason. I kind of doubted that they would put guys like Tyson Ross and Andrew Cashner and James Shields on the market because essentially they would set their organization back by a year at least doing so. And, getting pitching prospects for a guy like Tyson Ross or Andrew Cashner, at the end of the day, the only thing you've really done is kind of delayed your window of opportunity a little bit. Jonas Cespedes did move from the Detroit Tigers to the New York Mets, who needed to make a deal in the worst way and may have done that. Cole Hamels, of course, that transpired yesterday, an 8-player deal. Cole Hamels is with the Texas Rangers. The Houston Astros making a big move. Carlos Gomez joining the Astros. They've done a nice bit of business with Mike Fiers and also, of course, earlier Scott Kazmir. So, Paul Jones, one of the things that I look at this trade deadline, now that it's all done, the Baltimore Orioles added Geraldo Parra. Outfielder's having a terrific year. He is a good offensive acquisition for that team. But really, other than that, nobody else in the American League East really made an impactful move. Minnesota, the team that Toronto is chasing for the wild card, added Kevin Jepsen. They added some bullpen depth. Houston, as I said, another team that the Jays end up chasing for the wild card, they made, I think, some really nice moves. The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim made a couple of moves to address some of the issues they had in their lineup. But I think Alex has to come away from this deadline not only happy with what he did, but happy with what's transpired around him.
Yeah.
Because New York Yankees, Michael Pineda's on the DL with the strained forearm. Who the hell knows where that leads? The Blue Jays taking a step back today. They've gotten a lot better. They've addressed specific needs in Ben Revere and Mark Lowe, and Alex Anthopoulos will join us to address those needs in particular later. But as I look around the Blue Jays, not a lot of teams that the Blue Jays need to worry about made moves that made me go, wow, this is, you know, it's become even harder to get that wild.
Well, some of the guys that those other teams probably had targeted, Alex grabbed them.
Ben Revere, the Orioles were all in Ben Revere.
Look, it's like the old adage in hockey or basketball or any sport for that matter, any team sport. If I got the guy, they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And even if he ain't playing for me and he's sitting on my bench, I got him and they don't. So in that regard, sure, the Yankees, how many, with the money that they could spend, how many people would be looking at, grabbing some of these guys, and Alex got them. And as you said, I mean, we talked about it yesterday. We thought, Wednesday night leaving here, that mm-hmm. Price was headed for the Dodgers. And that might have been their kind of, all right, consolation. He's not in our league. He didn't go to San Diego. He didn't go somewhere where he's going to directly hurt us. And, you know, you mentioned a bunch of guys there, a whack of guys that were not traded. And I say yet. And you said, well, you know, and
Kansas
we both
City's
know.
Not moved.
We both know. If any of those names go on waivers, claims will be put in. They'll be redrawn. Right. And it makes me wonder, how the heck did they get the David Cone trade done back in 92? Because that was after the non-waiver trade deadline.
Yeah. It was a combination of circumstances. I mean, if you do, and again, there are teams that will be bold after the non-waiver trade deadline. There are teams that will be bold, but when you go in to make a deal at that time, you have to be prepared to be bold.
Yeah.
I think what it says more than anything else is it's really a testament to the parity around baseball. Because if you're the Cincinnati Reds, Aroldis Chapman isn't a free agent until the end of next year. What's to say that you can't be in a position next year at this time where you're going to be looking to add somebody because you're only a game and a half out of the wild
card?
Right. It's why when people look at teams like San Diego and said, wow, the Padres, they're going to have to back up the truck and move all these guys out. Well, not necessarily. Not necessarily at all. And having said that, I mean, there are a couple. I am a little surprised Jeff Samardzija didn't get moved. Although, you know, look at the Chicago White Sox. I'm sure they're saying, hey, we're not that far. I mean, the Toronto Blue Jays are making all these moves, and everybody's saying that's great. Well, hold on, folks. We're not that far behind the Blue Jays in the wild card. I mean, we're in a position of strength there as well. So there you go. That gets you all caught up to date. Alex Anthopoulos, the general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, he's going to get some time to rest his voice eventually and maybe even get some sleep.
Sleep, yeah.
We're very grateful that Alex Anthopoulos has agreed to join us. Alex, thanks so much for doing this.
Glad to be on, guys.
Tell us a little bit about your two acquisitions. We know Ben Revere is just here. We know a little bit about Mark Lowe, but where do they figure into things here?
Well, Mark Lowe's having a great year. He's been up and down the last few, but he's having a tremendous year. We've been following him for a while. We just saw him again last night. He was 96-99 with a great slider. And he's a guy that can pitch late in the game, and it just makes our pen that much. You know, it's just a very deep bullpen now, and you don't have to use guys necessarily 3 days in a row. It doesn't mean we won't, but Gibby has a lot of options in that bullpen for late in the game, and it's key. And especially, you know, we're trying to get to the playoffs and get there, and to see a lot of five inning starts. So the bullpens are very, very important. And with respect to Ben, he's a guy that brings an element that we don't have much of right now on this team. When we traded Reyes, we lost that stolen base threat, that contact bat that can cause havoc for the defense, can put the ball in play, and also give us some range in left field. His throwing arm's below average, but he does have range, and he's actually been a good left fielder. In center field, it's a little bit hit and miss, but we feel his best defensive position is left field, but he can slide over and spell Pilar if he needs to for a game or two.
Alex, at this point, is Ben Revere a guy who will hit in the bottom of the order? And I mean, I know he hits right-handers. I think he's hitting .320 against right-handers. I'm just wondering if there's any thought to maybe sticking him at the top of the order a couple of times.
You know, I haven't had a chance to talk to Gibby much today. I just was trying to update him when we did these moves. Well, we talked quick, and I don't know what he's going to do. I think someone said he brought up he might hit him at the bottom. He likes the way the top looks. So I'm not sure,
okay.
But I think it's just another guy that seats. This makes it a deep order. I know Gibby, which I agree with this, is wants to get the best hitters as many at bats as he can. So from that standpoint and from his earlier comments, I would expect him right now. It sounds like it's going to be more towards the bottom.
Alex, I read a tweet here from our man Scott Carson, who is all over every number, and he said, since you guys have come back from the West Coast, 20% of the 25-man roster has been turned over. And it's been done by using, you know, prospects and other things. How much do you worry about that? I mean, you can't worry when you're kind of pushing forward, but how much do you worry that, you know, at some point might this come back to bite you, or you just, hey, you look past it now because you're moving forward?
You look past it. You do talk about who you're giving up. You want to make the right evaluations, but you also realize you're giving up good players, but you're not going to get major league players for free, and there's an acquisition cost there, and you're not the only club that's asking for the players that we did acquire. So there's a competitive element there that these other teams have options to send players to other teams. So, you know, the one thing is, look, we've traded a lot of young players away, and ideally you can keep all of them, but that's not realistic. And I think it's a credit to the scouting and player development departments. These guys continue to find players as scouts, and the development staff continues to do an unbelievable job, whether they create value for us or create value for us, us to play for us, or create, make them basically prospect capital to trade. So can't speak enough about what those guys have done, but you still have a bunch of prospects. We feel that we're very deep, and I understand we're biased in that respect, but I think the industry feels the same way, because I've never had someone tell me we don't have the players to get a certain player. When someone's available and I say, well, we want to talk about our prospects, I've yet to have a GM tell me, well, look, I just don't think you have the players. I don't think you have the depth. We always do. And we've kept a lot of guys that aren't famous right now, but that Dunedin team, guys like Urania, Rowdy Tellez, Mitch Ney, Connor Green, Sean Reed Foley, obviously guys like Dalton Pompey as well. We just signed Vladdy Guerrero Jr., Harris, a kid we took in the first round. We still feel like we're very, very deep from a prospect standpoint. And we got a whole draft next year. Our scouting department's done a great job of getting some depth. And I still think we're in a very good spot. I forgot to mention Anthony Alford as well. So we're in a very good spot.
Hey, Alex, the other thing that happened at this deadline is the Yankees didn't make an impactful move. Baltimore got Geraldo Parra, which is a guy who was having a good year. Tampa, they moved Jepsen to Minnesota. I mean, some of the teams around you, some of the teams you're chasing, they didn't make the type of impact moves that a lot of people thought they would. And I know that doesn't factor in. I don't think it factors into your thinking. But now that the deadline's over and you step back, do you feel almost a little better as well because of what didn't happen around you?
I mean, I haven't, like you said, I didn't get a chance to see after the dust settled, because we came down to the press room here around about 4:05. So I figured some deals might come through. So it's nice to hear that I didn't hear about some of those teams adding some players late. That being said, with reference to the Yankees, they're doing so well. They're so many games over 500 right now. You can make an argument they don't need to do anything. Sure, if they would have added, they would have been that much stronger, but they've had a great year, and they continue to play well, and they're always a threat. And I think the Orioles are a very deep team as well, and the Rays, everyone seems to never give them enough credit. But we just had opportunities to improve the club. We jumped on them. We weren't planning on it. We were looking for opportunities to get better, and things came together quick with all these deals.
How was this deadline compared to other deadlines for you in terms of craziness, saniness, workload?
Oh, 1 billion times more work. Just because I think things were getting done, and it's not to say we don't work before, but there's a big difference between working and having conversations and, you know, not getting anything done, and you might see, you know, you're hitting a wall. But when you're actually getting close and getting deals done and timing's big, just the workload goes up quite a bit. But look, you want to be in that position, and that isn't a complaint. I wish that was the case each year, but the fact that we had a chance to get some deals done, it becomes more chaotic, and when you get close, you have to get your doctors and trainers involved and certainly keep ownership and CEO up to date, and there's a lot of things that need to get done. So you want it to be a chaotic week, and it was, and that's a good thing, because we were able to make to get some deals done.
Alex, people are focused on this part of the deadline, but you know, Jeff and I were just saying back in 92, after the non-waiver trade deadline, a David Cohn deal went through that was a big one. Do you anticipate anything being done after this, or is it just kind of monitoring things now and seeing what might happen and keeping your eye on stuff like that?
Yeah, you want, when you get to August, you don't expect to make any deals. It's one, you need to see who's going to clear with respect to trade waivers. And for the most part, the entire league gets put through. So I always find it kind of amusing. And I know there's not much to report in the month of August, but when there's a newsflash of so-and-so is on trade waivers today. And I mean, I can come out and announce to the world right now, every single one of our players will be put on trade waivers in the month of August. It's a policy. We do it every year. And I think most clubs do that. Not all of them, but most parts just run players through. There's no impact. So it's impossible to predict. If you look at the past few years, we haven't done anything. It makes it that much more complicated. If anything, big contracts sometimes get moved or dumped. Very rarely do you see guys with low salaries or young players get moved at this time of year.
Alex, we're going to let you scoot. I got to ask you one very quick question. LaMarcus Stroman was on with us yesterday. He sure sounds like a guy who thinks he's going to be pitching for you in August and September. What are the percentage chances, you think, percentage odds of Marcus Stroman pitching in Major League Baseball games in August or September?
I can't see August at this point. I think he was up to 120 feet, last I heard.
Okay.
But I hadn't checked it. So that's good. And then I know he's at some point he'll be off a mound. But I just don't see any scenario that the month of August is going to happen. Could September happen? I guess it could, but we're not going to get ahead of ourselves. And we're going to make sure no matter what, we're doing what's right for him and his career, regardless of where we are in the standings or regardless of how much we'd love to have him back and he can help us. His career come and his health come first and foremost, no matter how much he may kick and scream and want to pitch. If our doctors and trainers have any doubts or any concerns, he won't pitch. If they feel he's clear to attempt or do some, then we'll allow him to move as fast and as far as the staff, the doctors and trainers feel he can.
Alex, listen, we appreciate you doing this today, and we appreciate your availability these past 3 days. I know there's been an awful lot of work involved in it, and thanks so much for doing this. And you know, congratulations. It's certainly been a trade deadline to remember for Blue Jays fans.
No, it's been fun, and hopefully we make a nice run and we get everybody excited. So glad to be on, and hopefully we start winning some games.
All right, Alex.
Thanks,
care.
Alex.
It's Alex Anthopoulos, general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. Let's go to the man that I've been waiting to hear from for a while, and I know listeners have, the man who sits in this chair. It is his show, Primetime Sports. Mr. Bob McCowan joins us. Good afternoon, Robert.
Gentlemen.
All right. You said that you couldn't get the five pieces, that Alex couldn't get the five pieces he needed. He got five pieces. I don't know if they're all necessarily the quality we thought, but what's your take of the Jays moves at the deadline? A lot of that minor league pitching depth is gone.
Well, let me clarify. What I said was that I thought there were five pieces that they needed to acquire.
Okay.
Two starting pitchers, two guys out of the bullpen, and a left fielder. They got five pieces. The Tulowitzki deal replaced a player that most of us didn't think could be moved or would be moved. And I don't question for a second that it's an upgrade, but it wasn't included in my five.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially what he did is he filled four of the five holes that I believed existed weeks ago and have been talking about consistently. Did I think this was possible? What I said all along was it's extremely unlikely. But he's managed to accomplish getting four of the five. If you believe Stroman will be back in September, that solves your fifth piece of this puzzle.
Sure.
And on you go. Here's what I would say. As these pieces started to come together, individually, none of them excited me.
Mm-hmm.
Tulowitzki is a great player. I'm excited to see him play. I think he'll be a valuable contributor in the long term and the short term for the club. But he wasn't the difference maker. Getting Hawkins was value, but he's a 42-year-old pitcher. There's no long-term prospect there. That helps immediately, and that's part of what they needed. Then they go and get Price. The price is high. The risk is high, not in terms of performance, we don't think, but in terms of whether you're going to get him for 2 months or you're going to be able to get Rogers to cough up $250 million to get him on a long-term contract, and will he even want to stay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not precluding that possibility.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
But at this point, you don't know that.
Sure.
So Price, again, valuable, doesn't answer every question. Today, he filled in the holes with Lowe and Revere, and neither one of these guys is going to be high on anybody's market list. But both are valuable pieces.
Mm-hmm.
You get your left fielder who can hit from the left side, who can steal some bases and can play defense for you. You didn't have that guy. It gives you a lot of flexibility. And Lowe adds that second arm in the bullpen, so now you have Hawkins and Lowe, two guys that clearly are capable of achieving success in that bullpen. So the only missing piece to the puzzle of the five that I said you needed was that other starter. And again, if Stroman comes back, hopefully this team has a good enough August that by the time Marcus comes back, he can contribute. Now, we don't know that, but that's what we're hopeful of. And you still do have that option of Sanchez
right.
being converted again from the bullpen to the starting rotation. And I'm not positive that we won't see that, especially given the other pieces that have fallen in place. You don't need Sanchez as much in the bullpen today as you did a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, look, I think if you're a fan, and we all know what fans want. Fans want instant gratification. They're not interested in next year. They're not interested in next month, next week, or even tomorrow. What did you do today? They achieved everything that the fan base should want, and I've heard people calling in on the on various shows on the station, and they're all very excited about it. I think there's a cautionary note. They gave up a crap load of young players in order to make these acquisitions. This is a roll of the dice, an all-or-nothing kind of scenario. It doesn't mean you can't rebuild, and the nucleus and core of this team will stay intact for as long as Alex wants it. Overall, I can't be disappointed with what he's accomplished. I think he's done an outstanding job.
Hey, Bob, look, we've talked about this a lot. I think a lot of us, I'll say myself, I don't know about you, I think you may have felt the same. We thought going in the year, I think, that Alex was under a lot of pressure, that it was Alex has to make the playoffs or his job is in serious jeopardy. I'll predict right now that I think Alex Anthopoulos is back as general manager next year, regardless of what happens down the stretch. Just want to know your opinion on that.
I like the guy. I like the way he thinks. I like the way he operates. There's nothing about Alex Anthopoulos that I don't like, but I can't make the same claim because I don't know who replaces Paul Beeston.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I am a proponent of one guy. There's only one person that I think should be a candidate for Beeston's job, and that's Billy Beane. He is the only guy that I would be interested in talking to. Now, if that can't be worked out, and I'm led to believe that it can, but if that can't be worked out, I don't know who my number two candidate is. Now, if Billy Beane comes in, is Billy Beane going to want to be the general manager as well? Does Billy Beane have a stable of guys that he likes? How does he feel about Alex Anthopoulos? How does Alex feel about working under Billy, who has been a general manager for, what, 20 years?
Mm-hmm.
Those are all questions that we can't answer today. Alex Anthopoulos is, if he is dismissed, it's going to be as a result of circumstance, not as a result
right.
of the performance
right.
in his job.
And Bobcat, that being said, does Rogers scrutinize candidates carefully enough that somebody might say, look, Alex has got this thing going in the right direction? Okay, who knows what happens with Price, but you do have control of some of these other guys. You do still have Sanchez and Stroman. Another guy comes in and says, well, I'm going to bring my own guys in and turns this thing over when you're on the right path. Now this guy comes in and says, well, I'm going to turn things over. I'm going to bring my people in. And no matter what Alex has done, it's going to take that guy and his regime time. So is Rogers more careful in terms of scrutiny that, you know what, we're looking for a guy that's really going to consider maybe keeping Alex because of what we have going and the direction in which we are moving?
Well, I can't. You know, Paul, I can't answer that question. I have no idea what the thought process is going to be in the acquisition of a new president or what that president's mentality will be or what the Q&A will be. I would think it doubtful that an ownership group would insist that a
not insist,
member,
Bob, not right. insist, but keep it, be mindful of it moving forward.
Who's going to be mindful of it? Rogers?
Somebody, yeah, somebody's got to make a call.
Well, I think they'll all be mindful of it, but I don't see a scenario under which if you really like, and let me just again use it as an example, Billy Beane. If Billy Beane is the guy you're interested in, and you think he is the logical choice, but Billy Beane sits down across from you, Paul, and says, I want to bring my own guy in. Are you going to say no to Billy Beane?
Not if you really want him, but if you think you're close right now.
That's the point.
Yeah.
We don't know if they've talked to Billy. We don't know if they've gotten permission from Oakland. I suspect they haven't yet. I am led to believe that Oakland would give him permission to talk to other teams. Billy's primary reason for staying in Oakland, if we all watch the movie Moneyball, and there's some truisms in that, one of the reasons he turned down the Red Sox is because he had a young daughter. And she was, I think, 12 or 13 years old at the time. Well, she's grown now. She's out on her own. Billy Beane doesn't have any family tie to the Bay Area or California. So, and I think their ownership, understanding the limitations of what has happened in Oakland, the fact that they're probably not going to be able to move, they're probably not going to be able to build a new stadium. I don't think that they'd insist that, you know, mm-hmm. Billy has to stay.
Hey, Bob, you made a point that kind of caught my eye. You kind of slipped it in there. You talked about the possibility. I mean, David Price is going to want, and you're absolutely right, it's going to be about $230 million. It's probably going to be a 6 or 7 year contract, and he may get it with a new president in place. Maybe there won't be that 5 year policy. That, of course, if David Price were to sign that contract, would leave him as the second highest paid employee at Rogers behind you. I realize that, but
as long as he's second, I'm okay with it.
that's what I was going to say. I figured that, Bob. You know the people around here better than just about anybody else. The people, you know, the people that make the decisions. Can you see this ownership group ponying up $230 million for David Price? Because David Price may like it here. He's a different cat. He doesn't need the bright lights in the big city of New York. This is a guy who re-signed in Tampa. He may like it here. Can you see this ownership group ponying up that money?
Actually, I can. That's not to say that I believe they will. I think we're one day into David Price. It's pretty hard to make an evaluation. But I think if Price pitches well in the last 2 months of the season for the Toronto Blue Jays, there's no reason to suspect he won't. I think with the new economic reality in baseball, and in spite of the, you know, the dollar, which is around 75 cents last time I looked, I think there's a real chance they'll make a move for him, because I think they understand the value of a stud starting pitcher, and especially in the environment that you have created. You've got a first-class catcher, one of the best third basemen, arguably the best shortstop, a young second baseman, and no, he's on the DL, which isn't good news for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of future there. With all the pieces you've got, you have the ability to contend for several years and maybe even dominate for several years. But one of the pieces you're going to have to get, whether it's David Price or somebody else, is that stud starting pitcher. If it's not David Price, then who is it? Is it somebody in the organization? Well, we don't think so. Mm-hmm. We think the future of the organization, as far as pitching is concerned, is all young. And to have that, and we think Dickey probably will be bought out at the end of the year, and we think Burley probably will either retire or want to go back into the South to be closer to his family. I mean, these things can change, but that's what we believe. When you have as much firepower and when you have as many top-notch players as the Blue Jays have right now, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to get penny-wise and pound-foolish with a stud starting pitcher. And who easier to negotiate with than a guy who's been here for 2 months? The one thing we do know is that while all athletes are diplomatic, you know, cite the case, Jeff, in your experience in baseball, of the guy who left Toronto and said, thank God I'm out of there. I don't know one.
No, not many left. I mean, there are guys like Troy Gloss and that who kind of made it clear. Scott Rowland, but that was because of turf. That was only because of turf. That wasn't the city. That was because his body was breaking down.
Well, so there you go.
Yep.
So the answer is, if you get guys here, the organization obviously treats their players first class. They like the city. They like being here. It isn't as oppressive for an American to come across the border as they think it might be. They are going to be surrounded by high-quality teammates with a chance to win at least for the next 3 or 4 years. Why wouldn't you consider it? Mm. The issue is only going to be, are the Blue Jays prepared to put those kinds of numbers on the table? And I believe the economics of the game today are such that this organization might say, all right, let's do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that mean you got to remember, you're probably going to take Burley and Dickey off the payroll.
Yeah.
What are you going to save there? 20-something million?
Oh, God, 30 million? 32 million right there.
There you go. And that's probably about what it would cost for, you know, every year of Price's contract. People believe that Encarnacion will be moved. Eventually, Bautista will either be moved or maybe he gets a new contract.
Mm-hmm.
But there are financial flexibilities that exist right now. And who's to say that the Blue Jays ownership doesn't look at the situation and say, all right, we're spending $135 million or whatever it is right now. With the new economic realities, the new money that we're getting in, maybe we can go to 165.
Mm.
Maybe now is the time to make that investment. A couple of the keys, you still have a handful of really good young players on the team right now who are going to cost you nickels and dimes. You have guys under control with sub-million-dollar contracts probably for the next 2 or 3 years. That helps a lot when you're putting the payroll
sure
together.
Sure does, yeah.
Look, at my only issue with all this, I have two factors. Number one, as I've said many times, I don't like the idea of trading young pitching.
Mm-hmm.
And he traded, what, 10 of them, 12
mm-hmm.
of them?
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. Number two is, at the time this team started making these moves, they were a game under 500.
Right.
I understand that in the sea of Major League Baseball, and especially the American League as it currently exists, it doesn't mean you're out of it. But, boy, you have to think long and hard to decide that you're in it.
Right.
And these are the kinds of moves that you make when you're in it. Well, let me tell you right now, take a look at the numbers. I think there are 8 teams that legitimately have a shot at one of the 2 wild cards.
Mm-hmm.
8.
Yep.
As well as the Blue Jays play, they're also going to have to hope that the rest of these guys fall asleep and, you know, play no better than 500 or a little over 500. That's the dilemma you have. This team underperformed for the first 4 months of the season. Now we expect them to overperform in the last 2 months of the year. And it might happen. They might be able to push the accelerator to the floor and blow by a bunch of teams. But if they just get into a wild card game, that wild card game is going to be in the West. They're going to probably play on the road in, mm-hmm. I don't know,
Houston,
Anaheim,
perhaps?
Houston, who knows?
Yep.
That's one game on the road to get into the postseason. That's a big risk.
Mr. McCown, I appreciate you joining us. It'll be good to see and hear you back in this chair on Monday.
I'll send you the invoice, and I'm sure you'll be prompt in payment.
I'm sure we'll. Take care, Robert. It's Bob McCown weighing in on a memorable 4 days for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Are we going to break?
We're going to break. Cliff Floyd will join us back with more Primetime on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network.
It's the only time you have control of Bob McCown.
Let's go!
Subscribe to Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Now more of what you want to hear on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All right, welcome back to primetime for Friday. No roundtable today because of the baseball trade deadline. Bob McCowan, who you just heard.
Because of Alex.
Alex Anthopoulos, the man who killed the roundtable. You just heard Bob McCowan. He'll be back in this chair on Monday. For now, it's Jeff Blair and Paul Jones. David Price, apparently his news conference will now be post-game. Of course, David Price had some issues, transportation issues, getting up here.
He just picked up a tire sponsorship, didn't he?
I probably did. No David Price, but we got Cliff Floyd, and I'm rather happy with that. How you doing, big man?
Good. What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing today?
All good, Cliff.
So Toronto, the center of the baseball universe, Cliff. Who the hell would have thought that?
Well, you know what? Watching throughout the whole season, I mean, I guess I would have thought that they was going to do something. Now, you know, when you go all in, I you know, we saw it in all season with the Padres. I mean, you have to believe in it. When you look at what A.J. Preller did with that team out there, and now you look at Toronto and you believe that, you know, you believe in the philosophy, you believe in everything. It just makes sense to me. I mean, if you're going to go for it, go for it. I picked up the right pieces. I mean, to me, you should be afraid with these next couple months if you're playing Blue Jays, in my opinion.
Cliff, do you look at Alex Anthopoulos? And that's one of the things that people have always been kind of talking about here, a guy who looked like he was he managing for his job? Was he working for his job? He's made all these moves now. He's set the team up to do some pretty serious things going forward. Evaluate him and what you might think of him going forward into next year, because we know there's going to be a new boss.
Well, first and foremost, I look at Alex Anthopoulos and look at and for me, forget the grading process. Let's look at where he's put this team and where, in terms of guys in position to be successful. I think everybody here understands what's at stake. Bringing in a veteran, LaTroy Hawkins, sort of just helps balance that bullpen. Bring in Mark Lowe, another big arm to go along with the guys that they have in the bullpen. I think you need big arms. I think when you talk about pitching and starting pitching, if I'm a player in that locker room, I totally agree with Jose Bautista. And the fact that let's address what we need. Okay, so you feel that way? Let's go out and get David Price. I believe when you look at grading general managers, it's all about what you do at the end of the season with the players that you have in the locker room that put you a lot of wins in the W column. Now, does that mean that it's going to happen that they get to the postseason? Not necessarily. We all seen these things happen on paper, and they don't necessarily work out. So I look at Anthopoulos as if he didn't have an A before, he has an A going into the second half of the season, because this was his plan going all along, fellas, and he stuck to it. And now you're in a position to be a contending team. That's all you can ask for.
In conversation with Cliff Floyd of the MLB Network. David Price, of course, is a free agent, eligible for free agency at the end of the year. We know that Troy Tulowitzki, when he was traded to the Blue Jays, admitted it was a bit of a, it took him a while to kind of wrap his head around the idea. Now, Cliff, you're a guy who played in Canada. You're a guy who loved Montreal. You've come back here. You got businesses here. You got a lot of friends here. We see you around all the time. If I could get you to put Troy Tulowitzki, David Price in a room and say, Cliff, sell these guys on staying in Toronto long term and being happy in Toronto long term and being happy in Canada long term, how would you do it?
Now, first and foremost, I know I'm on a winner. That in itself sells. I mean, if you're a player that's talking about getting the postseason every single year, that's number one on my list. Listen, guys, I know you don't play this game, you know, just to go out there and go through the motions. Yeah, you got a lot of money, but at the end of the day, it's about pride. And of course, you can throw a little ego in there if you want to. Secondly, beautiful city. A lot of upgrades, a lot of what's in terms of living. I mean, from a real estate standpoint, you're getting the best of the best downtown in the city, or you can even go out to the burbs where I live, which is very nice out in Richmond Hill, and still have a good commute to the city. And thirdly, it's just about the organization and what they're about. And if you believe in the philosophy, if you believe in Gibby and all the coaching staff, then this is where you need to be. And that's how you look at these situations. If you talk too much, then you sort of become, you know, Charlie Brown. It becomes, you know, eyewash type of situation. I look at this wholeheartedly in a situation. If I'm selling these guys on this, is do you want to win? First and foremost, and if you hear what Tulo said, he wants to be here and win. David Price, I've played with this guy. I know what he's about. He's a competitor. And you know what? The philosophy will change with the new president coming in, but I believe at the end of the day, when you make this type of trade, you believe that if they've only been a team that have dished out five-year deals, that you sort of reevaluate that situation, and now you say, hey, if it takes 7 years, 8 years, whatever it takes to bring in a guy like David Price and solidify my rotation, we got to do what we have to do.
Cliff, all that you've said there, how much does the 2 months that they'll have David Price help in the whole recruitment process? We know money talks, and Jeff and I have talked about this. I mean, Wednesday night we went off the air. We were certain the Dodgers were going to throw the money out there and say, hey, you know what? We'll get them now, and we'll just buy them in the offseason. And they may yet still be thinking that, but Toronto's got 2 months to recruit right now.
You know what, fellas? This is a gut situation for me. And I'm believing that Anthopoulos went in with his boys and was like, listen, I have to make this move. I'm going on my gut feeling that this team is ready to make that playoff push. And we need a guy like David Price in our rotation. Just allow guys to bump down. You see Aaron Sanchez comes back, goes to the bullpen. We was talking about it earlier with Zani, was a great point. Big arms. But you bring in a guy that if you need to win that one game, playoff game, David Price can win that game. If you need him to start your postseason after, you know, if you make it and win this division, David Price is your bona fide ace. That's how I look at these moves. You know, sometimes you can get a little caught up in giving up too much and get, if you buy into what you're going out there and trying to do with this team as it sees fit, then you go all in and see what happens. I don't stop at getting too low. I believe when you look at the San Diego Padres going into the season, James Shields was the selling point. Mm-hmm. So when you got James Shields, it was like, oh, wait a minute. The NL West, it's a wrap. But it didn't work out. So I look at this team, and you sort of can follow what Alex has done because you say, hey, let's see how this thing plays out first before we throw all our eggs in one basket and start giving up our farm system, because now you're looking at a depleted type of pitching situation. You know, you don't have some of the guys that you might have counted on in 16, 17, 18, but if you're looking at the moment right now, I believe the Blue Jays can win not only this year, but still, with Tulo and a few guys getting Stroman back next year, you're still in a position to win 16, 17, on so on for.
Hey, Cliff, we appreciate you doing this today, man. Thanks very much for being part of our coverage. It's been tremendous.
No doubt. Thanks for having me, folks.
All right, Cliff.
Take care. Cliff Floyd of the MLB Network. Like I always say, comfortably in the top three all-time guys I've covered.
Well, he's not only very good analytically, he's been on the field, he's been in a clubhouse.
Well,
and that's and look, with all due respect to guys like yourself that are well-read, well-spoken, well-written, the advantage that Cliff has over all of us is he's been out in the field.
And not only that, Cliff Floyd was talking up Canada and liked Canada and was talking up Montreal and liked Montreal way before.
Oh, yeah.
Way before it became trendy to do that. He was a little bit like Pedro Martinez.
All you have to do is talk to the guys that have played in Canada, be it in Montreal or Toronto, in any sport, because it's the same thing in basketball now. Guys love the city.
Yeah.
And now that they're winning, like I said, that you couldn't have got a meeting with LaMarcus Aldridge before. You're a playoff team.
You get a meeting.
Exactly. Exactly. Do you think David Price would have been okay coming here if the team was, and then again, they're not making that move unless they're in a position anyway.
David Price is an interesting cat. We've already seen on Twitter, somebody sent a picture of their kid with kind of a homemade David Price jersey at the ballpark.
Yeah.
David Price says on Twitter, "Real jersey on me, kid. Size ? Retweet." So there you go, David Price already making friends, buying jerseys for people in Canada. Joe Siddle, the radio analyst on our Blue Jays broadcast, will join us live from the ballpark. We will get you set for tonight's game. Game two of a four-game series. Johnny Cueto for the Kansas City Royals on the mound against Drew Hutcherson. Reds and Jays, first pitch, 7 o'clock on Sportsnet 590. The Fan of Sportsnet, back with more primetime on the Sportsnet radio and television network.